Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Friday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Alliance message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you're having a prayer request, I pray with you. If you have any questions about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus answer for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests or your comments over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So, without further ado, for those of you listening, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you once again for this day that you have blessed us and this day that you've made and created. Dear Lord, we come and assemble together in your name, that, dear Lord, that you may reveal to us by your spirit the truthful and meaning of your word. So, Father, we dare not take this journey without you. So, Lord, we extend our invitation to the Holy Ghost being with us. And, Father, I pray for every soul that is listening in, every heart that is tuned in, every heart that is looking for truth. I pray that they find it in you, in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, and we give you all the glory and honor and praise, and we magnify you. In Jesus' almighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. I want to make a couple announcements once again before we go into the lesson today. Number one, for those of you first-time listeners, on this page, you should see a follow button that you listen to me to. Click on it. It's going to ask for your email information. And the purpose of that is that whenever we create a broadcast, you will be automatically alerted. We are scheduled to come on 7 p.m. nightly, but there are times that we may be doing a earlier broadcast. So, hey, hit that follow button that you may be alerted through the email when we are going on. Amen. And the second thing I want to announce is that we here at the Church of Christ, the Lies and Message, do believe that the Bible contains the Word of God. However, we have believed that God had caused two more books to come forth to go with the Bible. One is the Record of Nephi, which is a record of those people that lived on this continent during the prehistoric times, and the Lord dealing with them, giving his statutes, commandments, and judgments unto them as well. And then there's a book called The Word of the Lord that comprises of messages the Lord been sending through his angel messenger, the Elijah, from 1927 to 1994 thus far, 120 messages. If you want the Record of Nephi book, which is $8, and the messages, which are 75 cents per dozen, you can write to Church of Christ with the Elijah message, 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri, 64050. That is the Church of Christ with the Elijah message, 608 Lacey Road, Independence, Missouri, 64050. Or you can call 1-800-752-1507. That's 1-800-752-1507. And if you don't get no one at that number, dial area code 816-252-2343. Area code 816-252-2343. Now, the message today is the Elijah making sure we are right building. The Elijah making sure we are right building. For those of you that have been listening to us on Blog Talk Radio, you have heard us speak of Jesus sending Elijah, which is go in line with the scriptures from the Bible. Matthew chapter 17, Jesus said, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. And he revealed unto them that the Elijah is none other than John the Baptist. However, if you study during that time and see when he made this announcement, that John was already beheaded. So in order for John to come back or to restore all things after he's dead, that must mean that he was going to come back. And the only way he can come back is that he'll come back as a resurrected being. So therefore, Jesus also revealed in such announcement, in a statement, that the work of the Elijah or the work of John in his resurrection, okay, let's get that straight, because when he when he first came, he didn't restore all things, okay? He came to prepare people to receive Christ as the Lamb. He didn't restore all things because Christ hadn't been to the cross. So Christ is now revealing in Matthew 17 of the second part of his ministry is to restore all things. And that restoration work is to come in his resurrected return. Now, having said that, Jesus has been sending the Elijah. Also, according to Malachi chapter 4, that we're told that he's sending Elijah for the great and dreadful day of the Lord. That's not Elijah the Tishbite. That is the Elijah that he's mentioned in Matthew 17, which is the resurrected John the Baptist. Amen. And so, therefore, we are told that he is to restore all things. That is his work. That's the ministry that God has given unto him. It's a work of restoration. Hallelujah. Jesus, remember, is the commander. And he takes his instructions from the Lord Jesus. And in turn, he turns and gives it unto us. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I want to read from one of the messages on this topic that we're speaking today, that the Lord had authorized the Elijah, the resurrected John the Baptist, the angel of the Lord, to say. Now, understand this as well. He doesn't come at his own appointment. He comes at the appointment of the Lord, as do all other angels of God, okay? Angels of the Lord do not come on their own appointment. They don't have their own appointment book. They don't choose a time to come and visit me or you. They don't choose a time to come and give a word to mankind. They come as the Lord say, go. Amen? So let's get that understood. Okay, now, in one of the messages called the 56th message, which is the 56th time that Jesus has sent the Elijah on, and let me give you this date here, October 11th, 1942. Now, you may say, well, why are you giving me this date? Because in your prayer, I want you to ask Jesus about this. In fact, Jesus himself wants you, the listener, to ask him about what I'm giving you today. Amen? We're never told to tell people, say, you better believe it because I told you. We've always told people, and this is what we're instructed to do, to give you guys the message and let you choose and to point you to him. Amen? Because when it comes down to it, when the smoke clears, it's going to be about what you know, what you have accepted concerning Christ, to see whether you will stand into the place where he will have you to stand. Amen? Hallelujah. And I'm not, when I say that, I'm not talking about you accepting any other old thing. Let's get that straight. Because some people will listen to me make that statement, and they think, well, if I accept that Jesus said so-and-so going to die and come back as a dog. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that which is in line with the word of God. So in this 56th message, and for those of you that have these messages, I ask that you look with me. For those of you that don't, hey, you got a pencil, piece of paper, get it out right now. And what I read to you, write it down, and simply go into prayer and ask the Lord, is this true? Amen. And go and listen to this. Go into prayer open. Let me say it again. Go into prayer open. Don't go into the prayer with your denomination on your mind or your church on your mind or asking something that whether your church is going to agree with it about. It's not about that. This is about you being open to saying, Lord, whatever you want to reveal to me, despite what church I'm in, okay? Okay? Despite what the church I belong to, mentality or what they think, but I want truth. My thing is truth based on what you reveal through your spirit and your word. That's what I accept. Now, when you go into the honesty mentality of that, you will be open to receive things from the Lord that you never thought you received before, because that's the type of people the Lord is looking for. He's looking for people open to him teaching, him revealing, and not so much stuck on your denomination or what your church think and stuff like that. You understand what I'm saying? This is what have gotten many people, caused them to fall short of receiving revelation that God wants them to have. Because if what they get doesn't match up with what their church thinks or what their denomination teaches, then they automatically dismiss it. And you're doing a grave injustice to yourself overall when you operate in such a way. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, in this 56th message, the word of the Lord says, this is what the Lord authorized the angel to tell us. He said, I come to you at this time with words from the Lord your God. Okay? So just, you said, go back and ask Jesus what I'm finna say. Simple as that. Simple man's game. Okay? Go back and ask Jesus about what I'm finna tell you. Then he goes on and says, I am the messenger of the Lord, and I am sent to do his will. I am commanded. Now listen to this. I am commanded to bring the instructions to direct, to point the way to the Christ, and my name is John. I am the Elijah. Now listen to this next statement. This is what we're going into this message today. He said, I come that the church may build upon the foundation Christ has laid. There is safety in the light I have brought and will yet bring. Therefore, follow the instructions I have given you. Now, he said, I come that the church may build upon the foundation, not what he laid, but what Christ laid. You understand that? And what Christ he's talking about? He's talking about the Christ of the Bible. Amen. See, if you would get it, for those of you that don't have it, and if you would do this, the copy of the messages. And whatever you read that this angel is saying about Christ in his messages, see, does it match up with the Bible? Amen. Because, see, we living in the days of deception. For example, just like the Mormons will tell you quickly, we believe in Jesus Christ, but if you really study, and this is what some Christians ain't doing, they going by face value where people say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. They're not searching any deeper. But if you will find out and really search what the Mormons teach and say about Christ, you will find out it is not the Jesus of the Bible. Now, I know some of y'all get offended, but that's the truth. Because, see, some of y'all just running with anything. People can tell you anything. Yes, I believe in Jesus. And you look up, and the Jesus they talking about got two horns on his head. But, see, you won't search nothing out. Hallelujah. It's sad to say, a slowful, lazy spirit has been lingering around many of us in the Christian community. We've gotten lazy, slowful, won't search nothing up, taking things up front at face value, won't search it out, and being led to on the wrong path for the longest. Now, the angel, the Elijah said, I come that the church may build on the foundation Christ has laid. Now, if the church was already doing that, then there would be no need for him to have that in his assignment. So we must understand that Christ does not do anything in vain. He's not going to tell you to do something when it's useless. You understand what I'm saying? That's something we would do. We would say something to one another and have one another doing stuff that could be simply useless. But Jesus is not going to have you or his angels or anybody do anything that is vain, anything that's useless, anything that's nonsense. He would not do that. Now, let me speak to you a little bit more now. He says, the angel said, I come that the church may build upon the foundation. Now, if you will read that word, you will notice that in our English language, there's words that we write that will signify something singular or something plural. He said, I come that the church, he didn't say church is. I'm just taking a pause for a minute and let that sink in. He didn't say church is, he said church, singular, hallelujah. See, Jesus has one body. When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you would see that. Jesus has one body, not a bunch of bodies, okay, but one body, hallelujah. And concerning that one body, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul tells us that there are many members that makes one body. Hallelujah. So here's the thing I want to say on that as well. When we say about one another, say, we don't belong to the same church, I think that many times we don't realize what we be saying. Because in first chapter of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 1, we're told that the church is his body. Okay?
So when we say, well, we're not of the same church, actually we said we're not of the same body. Well, Christ only had one body, so what other body are you a member of? See, we are many members that make up one body. Hallelujah. Sister Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, Shunda. We don't realize what we be saying when we say that. I have said it many times. Many Christians, other Christians have said that many times. But the Lord actually had me thinking one day that when we make a statement, because remember, he has let us know through Paul, as he is writing to the Ephesians, that the church is his body. So when we say, hey, we're not of the same church, we're saying we're not of the same body. Whereas only one body, if we are all Christians, we're supposed to be of the same body. So if we're not of the same body, then whose other body we're a part of? You get what I'm saying? And so this is why the Lord said Elijah is to come to restore all things. Amen. So the Lord, when he sent the Elijah, said, I come that the church may build upon the foundation Christ has laid. Number one, the church is supposed, he's talking about, is a church of true born again believers. Hallelujah. And in every church, everybody's not saved. Okay, I know some of y'all already probably hit the click button. But you don't know my church. No, everybody ain't saved. Why is that? Because Christianity, as ever since the first century persecution and all of that, we have gotten off course. Let me give you another example. I've heard for the past few years strongly, I've seen that, see, people is got problems, okay? People got problems. And one of the things I notice that more people are starting to say when these problems build up on them, I need to get into a good church. Now, you would listen to that safe statement. Some of you as Christian, you say, oh, well, that's good, Brother Nate. They're talking about going to church. But guess what, people? Church don't save you. Christ saves you. And see, people go to what they're looking for, a good church. Understand this. They're looking for a place, number one, that don't hold them accountable. Number two, that'll do like a Joel Osteen. I'll tell them, oh, God got this for you. God got that. God is, you know, don't preach about sin and repenting, okay, truly repenting. I say truly repenting, and get this, here's the addition to this, and living for Christ, and living for Christ. So when he said, I come that the church may build upon the foundation Christ has laid, he's talking about everyone that are true believers. And see, everyone in every church are not true born-again believers, people. I'm telling you right now. And you ain't got to believe it. Watch, God is going to show it. Amen. Just because people, quote, belong to a church doesn't necessarily mean that they're all saved. And this is what the problem that's happening with the churches, because the people are coming to us and say, you know, I just, you know, I need to come to a church and I enjoy the church and I feel good and y'all make me feel good and I just like preach. And all of a sudden we do what? We pick them up and body slam them in the water. Pick them up and say, oh, now, brother, sister. Amen. That's what we do. And as soon as you baptize them, you can tell in your spirit they have no more concern for the word of God than anything. They go on and they continue to live like they lived before. And you better not dare say nothing to them, because then they say, you're judging me. And then they're mad, upset. Now they want to leave the church. Some of y'all know I'm right, what I'm saying. Some of y'all may experience it. Some of y'all may have seen it in the church that you belong to. Someone got quickly baptized, and you notice that they never stopped living that sinful life. And then as soon as pastor says something to them, you see they got an attitude and upset and things of that nature, and now they don't even show up for service no more, and then they don't even ask concerning the church no more, and now you've seen they have left and they have went to join another church. Now, some of y'all know I'm telling the truth. You know this. But see, this is what Christianity is. This is the place that Christianity is at now. What the Lord is doing through the Elijah, according to what Jesus said in Matthew 17, he's going to restore all things. He's going to restore the church. He's bringing the church back to the foundation Christ laid and bringing the church back to the setup of Christ. Christ didn't set up the church just to anybody any kind of way per se and have them to stay the same. In other words, Christ didn't set up the church to be joined to sinners. Christ set up the church that the sinner may be converted to a believer. Hallelujah. And even these sinners thinking they are so smart. Now, you take Snoop Dogg. When he did a so-called gospel album with these, a gospel rap album with these gospel singers. And when they was asked about how do you feel where the people said that, you know, and I paraphrase it, they talking about, you know, him collaborating with the gospel singers at the church. You know, he acted like he was so wise. He said, it's a church made of saints. It's a church made of saints. And I know Snoop Dogg don't know what he's talking about. Because the true church of Christ is made of believers, Snoop. I hope you're listening to this. I hope this really gets to you because, yes. You said, well, why do we come to the services and we ain't say why we come to serve? To be converted. To be converted. This is why you come, Snoop. You don't come to just say, I'm going to be a member of the church and keep smoking or whatever, smoking weed or whatever you're smoking, cussing and doing everything under the sun and talking about you part of a church. That's not Jesus. You talk about your grandmama pray. Thank God for grandmama for praying for you. Now you need to know that you got to walk in the word of God. And don't give me that everybody's not perfect. No, you know what? That stuff has ran its course. For those of you that wants to keep sinning and make an excuse and want to throw that up, that it ran its course, man. It's gone. It's dead. It holds no weight. Hallelujah. Now, he said, the angel said, I come that the church may build upon the foundation of Christ. Once again, the church is the true believers. See, the true believers, this is why he had the angel say in another message, that I come that all the faithful in Christendom shall flow together. See, all the faithful in Christendom is going to represent the bride that Christ coming back for. And this is what we fail to preach in the churches. We're preaching to people about Christ's return. That's true. We're preaching that Christ is going to return for the bride. That's true. But we're not preaching the process of where the bride is going to be made or come forth. So now we're letting everybody think that everybody that's jumping on the boat is the other bride when they ain't. I say again, when they ain't. I'm using some old Southern language here. When they ain't, okay? Hallelujah. He come that the church, that's the body of Christ. True believers may build upon the foundation of Christ. So even though there are some that are true believers haven't been building on the foundation, if we were all building on the foundation like we should, then once again, that would not be part of his job, because Jesus doesn't instruct or do anything that is vain. You get what I'm saying? Nothing. Hallelujah. Now, he said, I come that the church may build upon the foundation Christ has laid. Now, he makes that clear. Christ laid. Not what I laid, you laid. Grandmama, granddaddy laid, you know. Because sometimes we thank God for granddaddy and grandmama, but sometimes they say a little something, that really didn't go with the word of the Lord. Some things were just tradition, but we're talking about the foundation Christ laid. Okay? Hallelujah. And what has happened is that some of God's people have gotten caught up on the wrong foundation. They've gotten caught up in the wrong thing. They start to preach and teach some stuff that is ungodly and doesn't go with the word of God. You get what I'm saying? And they're passing it off for the word of the Lord. And see, here's the thing about the sin of Elijah. When the smoke clears, he's going to be successful. There's going to be a people who have been built on the foundation Christ has laid. I know some of us is doing what we can do, and we can improve and be better. And then there's others ain't simply doing anything. You know, they just there. come to church in time for preacher service, miss a lot of Sunday school, you name it, and that's their routine. Go to work on Monday, tell people I went to church Sunday, boom, that's it. And they think they can comprise of their whole life, do anything they want to, say anything they want to, and still go to church and let the crocodile tears go down their cheek and holler Jesus and do all the falling out in the church service and all that. And as soon as church service is over, as soon as they get off the lot, back to square one. Elijah is sent by the Lord to make sure we are right building on the foundation that Christ had laid. Hallelujah. Now, I want to read the scripture to you from the Record of Nephi book. Now, don't worry, y'all. We're coming to the Bible. This is in 3 Nephi chapter 11. Come to the Bible here. But the Lord had his servant write down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What he recorded, what Jesus said when he came over here after his resurrection. Oh, yeah, Jesus. Listen, we have Jesus so closed in a box. Now, when I say that, I ain't talking about you claiming Jesus and everything. Now, when you say that statement as well, you got some people that say, well, you right, Brother Nate, because I think Jesus did this. And some of the stuff they said is unscriptural, is unholy, it is ungodly. And you and trying to claim Jesus in it, man, please go on to someone else and tell someone else that. But anyhow, Jesus did come over here to this continent after his resurrection. Now, I know for some of you, it's hard to fathom that thought. In fact, by me shaking it, saying it, you're probably shaking your head now. What, there is no evidence. There is no evidence. Jesus said in John chapter 10, he said, other sheep I have, which are not of them fold, of this fold, them I must also bring. Okay? So the other sheep he's been referring to is the people over here known as the Nephites. He visited them over here, okay? Hallelujah. But you notice in that 10th chapter of John, he didn't say much more on that subject. And there was a reason for that. Why is that? Because his disciples, his people over there was in such unbelief, he can only speak that much. See, listen, unbelief hurts us. Unbelief hurts us. And it can prevent us from receiving more revelations from the Lord. Especially, if you got a group of people who think they the only ones, you know, and keep that mentality, even if God showed them differently, they won't accept it. And that causes a limitation of what God could show them. You understand that? That goes for any of us. That's why we got to guard our heart. We got to watch what we listen to, what we look at. Hallelujah. Glory. That it won't flood our minds and flood our spirits. Now, in this 11th chapter of third book of Nephi, it says this. And this is what Jesus said. He said in verse 37, and again I say unto you, ye must repent and become as a little child and be baptized in my name. Or ye can in no wise receive these things. And again I say unto you, ye must repent, be baptized in my name, and become as a little child, or ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, now listen to this, that this is my doctrine. And we know the doctrine is the teaching, okay? And whoso buildeth upon this, buildeth upon my rock. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. You hear that? The rock is Jesus Christ, his revealing power, and his doctrine, his teaching. So therefore, see, and that's the thing. This is why Elijah said, I come that the church may build upon the foundation Christ has laid. Some of God's people is not building on the teachings of Christ. And get this. Some of God's people are coming up with certain things they claim to be of God. But guess what? They cannot prove it in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Some things they are making a doctrine out of that's a custom. You understand that? Like they said, and I'm going to say this, and I know some of you get offended. Like they say, the women wearing hats, got to wear hats on their head. No, you don't. Now, you read in Corinthians and stuff like that, you got to understand what was the custom in the days of the people. Now, if it was for the women to wear hats on their head, because you got some wear stuff and they covering their head. If you speaking prophetically has to be with a covered head, would or would not Christ have the mouth of two or three witnesses declaring it? This is what I say to you. Because remember what he said in Matthew 18, 2 Corinthians 13, what is that, Deuteronomy 17 and Deuteronomy 19? He said in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And he said in 2 Corinthians 13, let every word be established. And see, some of y'all finding some things that was said, but you can't match it up in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Amen. You can't match it up in the mouth of two or three witnesses. That this is a doctrine of Christ to be kept in this day and time. Amen. Hallelujah. And he says here, this is my doctrine, and whoso build upon this, build upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. And see, the Elijah has been sent that we may do the right building, that we may build on the right foundation, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. You understand that? That's part of his assignment of the restoring. Okay? Hallelujah. And then Jesus goes on saying, whosoever shall declare more or less than this, and establish it for my doctrine, the same cometh of evil, and is not built upon my rock, but he buildeth upon a sandy foundation, and the gates of hell standeth open to receive such when the floods come and the winds beat upon them. He said, whosoever declare more or less than this, then this is what's going on with some of his people. There's even either taking away from what the word is saying, or they adding stuff to the word. And Jesus said, this is not my doctrine. This is not my teaching. He said, and if you're doing that, then you're building on a sandy foundation. You get that? You're building on man's commandments and man's traditions. Because see, among the people of God, there have been a lot of traditions floating on that people have been adding to the words, and it has been changing the meaning of the teaching of Christ. Yet they say still that the Lord is with this. The Lord is in this. And the Lord is going to show, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm not in that. Hallelujah. You got Christians collaborating with sinners, getting into pact and agreements with sinners. When the word of God tells us, Jesus told us through the Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians, to be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. But we just threw that out the window, okay? Because they smile at us and tell us how great a preacher and teacher we are and all that stuff. We get so caught up and shaken that we become joined with them. Now we are joined and tied to that which is unholy, that is doing unholy things, and we think that we're exempt. And this is why some of this stuff is hitting us, because of what or who we are joined to. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? See, when you join yourself to that which is unholy, look at why do you think God said in the scriptures, what is that, Revelation? He said, come out of her, lest you partake of her suffering. Why do you think he said, come out of her? Who was he talking to? His people. Why would you think God would call you out from among the sinners? Why do you think God would call you out for something that is you joined to that is unholy? If you are a Mason, God is calling you out and say, come out from them. Why? Because the plagues and the curses and the judgment that is going to hit that organization, if you are tied to it, guess what? It's going to hit you as well. Amen? It's going to hit you as well. Now, some of y'all can put your finger in your ears, close your eyes to what I said, but guess what? It don't stop truth from being truth. Amen? Truth is going to be truth, period. I'm talking about through the word of God. So you got some of God's people getting off the teaching. Now, let's go to the Bible right quick here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
First Corinthians chapter 3. And I know there are some well-meaning Christians that's speaking against this. They are in ignorance. I ain't trying to be funny when I use that word. But my prayer for them is that God will open their eyes, that they will receive what God have for them. Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. Hallelujah. He said, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is what? Jesus Christ." This is what the angel is saying. "I come that the church may build upon the foundation Christ has laid." And here through the Apostle Paul, we told that there is no other foundation. There's no other foundation. You got people making up foundation. I'm just telling you, just making up, just building on whatever. And then they're taking the Lord and saying, and attach God to it, say, "This is the Lord." Like who have heard being baptized for the dead? How can you be baptized for the dead? Now, it was a piece of a phrase said in one of the scriptures in 1 Corinthians, and you have a group of people in an organization that took it and ran all across the baseball field with it, and it's trying to establish it for a doctrine of Christ and telling people that you can be baptized for the dead, asking people, "What is your deceased mama and your deceased daddy name?" And you sitting there wondering, why they want to know all this? Because they're talking about being baptized for them. You don't find in the mouth of two or three witnesses, three or four witnesses, 300 or 400 witnesses, no kind of witnesses, that Jesus said you can be baptized for the dead. You don't find that. You don't find that. We are in this probationary state where your decision got to be made now. You got to be born again in this dimension, in this time, okay? Not you talking about you die, go into the hereafter, somebody get baptized for you, and give you a chance to be saved. You don't find that scripture nowhere. But see, some of us won't even look it up. And some of you as Christians are claiming this organization is a Christian organization. When it's no more a Christian organization, then a dog is a cat. But see, yet still, you won't search nothing up because some of these same people, nice people, smile, let you give you the smile, ping, white teeth shining and everything, and you just falling for it. Amen. You just falling for it. And they'll tell you in a minute, "Well, we believe in the same Jesus." And you just jumping and running. "Oh, yeah, they my brother. They my sister." And then one day, maybe perhaps, you actually sat down and say, "You know, I just want to study what they say about Jesus." And when you get finished, somebody literally has to put their hand over your mouth and close the top lip to your bottom lip, because for the simple fact is that you're shocked of what they're saying, and you're saying to yourself, "This is not the Jesus of the Bible." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. He said every man's work going to be manifest. This is what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Lord is sending the Elijah to make sure we're right building on the right foundation, the rock. Hallelujah. The rock. Amen. That we're building on the right foundation, people. Christianity as a whole is not building on the right. They're not right building. Christianity as a whole is not right building. If we were right building, we would be one. Some of y'all right now hearing me say, "Well, we are one, Brother Nate." No, you ain't. No, we ain't. Let's be real. We have shown God to be a confused God. He got you named this, you named that, you named this, you named that, you being separated from this one, this and be separate. No. Show me in the scriptures of the Bible alone where that's so. Jesus didn't set up a separated church. He did not set up a body that was called by all these different names. He said, "We're many members," but he said, "But there's how many bodies? One." One. Think of your body. Your body got many members. You got a hand, you got a foot, you got fingers,
You got eyes, you got nose. Those are many members. But guess what? They make up what? One body. You only have one body, people. Jesus only had one body, people. Listen, if you look at the way he created us, it's an example in many things. But we don't look at it that way. Hallelujah. We don't look at it that way. Jesus made you to have one body. He has how many? One body. One body, okay? Hallelujah. Glory. He let the boshanda glory to God. Hallelujah. See, I know this is a message that the devil don't want to get out there. Why is that, Brother Nate? Well, for the simple fact is this. Satan cannot whoop anyone, any congregation or what have you, that is truly unified in Christ. He can't do nothing with true unification. That's why he tried to look for little cracks and stuff. When you and other groups or other people are fully together, he looks for little cracks among you to try to work into. You know how they say about rats, when rats get in the house, and you be wondering, how did this rat get in my house? Because I don't see nothing, no inter area. You know, some area you got big hole here, this and that. You can see, well, yeah, I can see I ain't come through there. But you're looking all over and you say, man, how did he get in? And one thing said about rats, that rats can squeeze themselves into some of the smallest cracks. Amen? Yeah, they can squeeze you. You'd be shocked when you see the rat just squeezing and squeezing. You'd be thinking, you'd be going, ouch, I know they got to hurt. Ouch, ouch. No, it ain't. He just squeezes until he make his way through. Amen. So some of the cracks that you would think that a rat couldn't get through would get through. Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew right quick. Matthew chapter 16. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Hallelujah. Now, it's something interesting about this as we go into hallelujah. Starting at verse 13. Now, I'm going to read something here. Matthew chapter 16, start at verse 13. And look what Jesus said. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, now look, pay attention to the question that Christ asked his disciples. He's asking all his disciples. Now look what he said. He said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do men say? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So they letting Jesus know, they're telling Jesus that what men is saying about you, who you are, okay? Verse 15. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now he goes personal. Okay? Who do you say? I want to see, do you know for sure who I am, or are you accepting what you heard men say? Hallelujah. Have you gotten to a personal place with me to get to know me, or are you just, quote, knowing me through what other people say? Our Lord is such a great teacher. My God, sometimes we don't think about it, but then when you do think about it, you go, man, that was wise. That was smart, you know. Wow. So when he asked that question, the Bible said, and Simon Peter answered. Okay, now, when he asked the disciples, who do men say I am, they begin to answer. Because verse 14 said, and they said. But here verse 16 said, Simon Peter, one person said. Interesting name. He answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's amazing, ain't it? That even of his own disciples, they can only really answer to what men thought of who Christ was. And only one answer to who Christ really is. That shows the differentiation in the relationship, okay? Why are you taking me here, Brother Nate? Well, it says here in verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon by Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it. This ain't no man revelation, okay? But my Father, which is in heaven, this revelation came from Almighty God unto him, that he knew personally who Christ was, that it was revealed to him who Christ was. And he said, verse 18, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon his revealing power, he's going to build his church upon those that really receive it. His church is going to be full of those who are going to receive the revealing power of Christ, who's going to be built upon the rock. It's going to be those who have come to know who Christ really is. Not somebody that's answering who they think Christ is through hearing what others says. You understand what I'm saying? This is why, ministers, you have to teach people how to develop that personal relationship with Christ themselves. Yes, we have a job to teach them the word of God, but we have to show them balance. We have to show them that your study is not only to come when you enter into the church building, but your study has to be personal when you go home. You have to spend time with God. You have to be in prayer with God and get to know him yourself and not know him through just what someone else is saying. You got it. Listen, I'm telling you, if you don't, in these last days, you're going to see a lot of people drop off. You got some Christians, they just want to be called a Christian. They don't want to live as a Christian. Amen? They just want to be called a Christian. They don't want to live as a Christian. Now, when some trouble come up, they'll say God in a minute. But when everything's going good, it's either me, or somebody else. If anybody have faced wrongdoing in their life, the most than anybody else has been Jesus. Because people just try to use him like he's just crazy, okay? Like he ain't got no sense. You know how you know that person you came across that's saying some good things about you, but you can tell that's a fake? Well, guess what, people? So does Jesus know. So does Jesus know. Amen. And the Elijah is to come that we may be right building. Building upon the right foundation. Because if you don't, you're building on a sandy foundation. And guess what? Guess what? Let's turn to one more thing. Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to look at the guess what. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to verse 27. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to verse 27. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to verse 27 says, Therefore, whosoever hear these sayings of mine and doeth them, I would liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, notice one of the common things between this wise one and this foolish one. The rain, the floods, the wind came against both of them. That's the end of what I want to tell you. And what is this? If you're not right building, the rains, the floods, and winds is dealing with trials, doctrines of men, and all of that is going to come at you, and you're going to fall if you're not right building. And I've seen people, even on social media, and well-known so-called ministers and all that have fallen because they have not built upon the right foundation, and those winds and that rain and that flood came against them, and they failed. They represent the foolish. Remember in Matthew 25, when it said five were wise, five were foolish? You're getting some more information about why was they called wise and why was they called foolish? But one of the reasons why they was called wise because they built upon the rock. And one other reason why they were called foolish, they built upon the sandy foundation. The reason why they were called wise, because all of a sudden that the storms and the wind and all that blew against them and they didn't fall. And plus, according to Matthew 25, they took extra oil with them. That's the reason, another reason why they said they took extra oil, okay? They built upon the rock. Hallelujah. Why the foolish built upon the sandy foundation? They didn't continue to take oil. And the oil they had ran out. So when it ran out, you know, amen. Hallelujah. Jesus has been sending Elijah to make sure we are right building. And if you're not right building, it's not too late to be corrected. And if your heart is open to right building, I guarantee you the Lord is going to reveal this word unto you. See, this is one of the reasons why Christianity is so stretched out in so many different positions. We're not right building. We're not right building together. You got some churches who don't think you need to preach repentance. That would tell you in a minute, oh, you ain't got to do that. They already know they need to repent. Do you think that the people in Jesus, they didn't know that they had some sin? Okay. Jesus said he without sin, let them cast first stone. What did they do? They all dropped their rocks. Amen. So you got some churches, when it comes to repentance, they don't even want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about that. And if you catch them in the act of doing something evil and tell them about it, they tell you, say, well, you can't judge me. God know my heart. You can't judge me. He know I don't do everything right. Yeah, but he know that you supposed to, you need to repent too as well. Okay. He know that. But you won't talk about that. You know why? Because you want to keep sinning. I'm glad Jesus is doing something these last days through the sin of Elijah. I am glad. Because right now, Christianity just look, we look ridiculous. Even the sinners are laughing. They can so easily infiltrate the church. It's pitiful. You got people, you got some women coming in the church dressed like prostitutes. Okay, they dress like prostitutes. Okay, they come there. Okay, let's give them the word to be converted. And guess what? They remain like prostitutes. I'm going to be honest with you, as well as some men. And the first thing they holler out, well, you know, God say come as you are. But he didn't say remain as you are, okay? He said come as you are that you may be converted from that. But now some of you want to come as you are and stay as you are and tell my, I'm a member of the church. And some of y'all so wrapped up in these Greek organizations, you want to be in a church so it can be on your resume. Amen. Because I've seen when some people have run for city officials and they give you a whole list about them and they got to tell you, well, they are part of Kappa Kappa, and they in this kind of church, Baptist and this, that, and church and methods. All it's like part of a resume. So some people do stuff to add to their resume. Well, your resume ain't going to cut it, people. That ain't going to be the thing to get you into with the Lord. You're going to be able to go there. Hey, God, I tell you, I was a member of the Methodist Church, and I was part of a faith of bye-bye, cap of bye, and I should be able to get in. I tell you what, ain't no door to the pearly gates going to open on some stuff like that. You just be standing outside hollering. Now, there's some doors to another gate that would open for you and would invite you on in and say, come on in. But I guarantee you this, when you walk through there, I guarantee you the rest of your life you'll be saying, I don't want to be here. Get me out as much as you say, and you will not be able to get out. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord, for another day that you have blessed. And dear Lord, we thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. So, Lord, I pray this very day that you would water the seed I've sown and bring forth the increase for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ,
Lord, I thank you for this opportunity you've given me to go into the Word of God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank God for all you've been listening. Once again, this is Brother Nate, Church Christ the Life Message, on the broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. And don't forget, later on tonight, we have another broadcast at 7 p.m. Love Thy Neighbor with our brother, Brother Eddie Lee, and the sister. So once again, we love y'all. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.